You have COVID-19 related workplace questions. Banner Aetna has the answers. Welcome to Banner Aetna, Workplace in Focus. Now here's your host, Banner Aetna, Market Head of Sales, John Dingledine.
Welcome everybody to this week's Banner Aetna, Workplace in Focus. Today we're really excited to have Drs. Ed Clark and Robert Groves with us to talk about all the recent developments that we've seen here in Arizona around COVID-19. We felt that this is a very important session to have because there's a lot of important information that is out there and needs to get out there, and we want to make sure that we provide clarity to all of our listeners. So first of all, thank you for joining. And before we get into the questions, I'd like to ask Dr. Clark and Dr. Groves to introduce themselves. So Dr. Clark, we'll start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at Banner.
Thank you. My name is Ed Clark. I'm the Chief Medical Officer of the Banner Insurance Division and our Banner Health Network of Physicians. So I help the Banner Health System and our line providers really bring value-based care to those members and patients in our markets.
Okay, great. Dr. Groves is, Robert Groves is also on the line. Dr. Groves, will you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure, hi. My name is Robert Groves, and I'm the Chief Medical Officer for the Banner Aetna Joint Venture. And what that means is that I sit between the payer and the provider, if you will, or sit in the middle of that collaboration. And so my job really is to understand both sides of the equation and try to integrate and collaborate with both teams to deliver something that is better and more efficient and higher quality in the state of Arizona.
Great. Thank you very much for that. Let's start our questions with Dr. Clark. Dr. Clark, what is Banner doing to address potential issues in capacity due to COVID-19?
Great question. So with Banner's footprint in Arizona and really being the largest provider of healthcare in the state, we have to do a lot to make sure that we're prepared to help out. So the first thing we have to do is really understand what the current situation is on the ground, not only statewide, but locally. And so we have teams that keep a very close eye on the number of cases diagnosed in the state, where those are, and having a good sense of which facilities might be at capacity. And so we are working with the physician leaders of all the other healthcare systems to make sure we're helping each other out in that. So the second part of that then is understanding what our internal capacity is to take care of these patients. So we have great folks in both the IT teams and the informatics teams that have created a number of dashboards so we can track all of the relevant metrics at all of our hospitals across the state to realize what capacity we have. So an example of this is understanding first how many patients are in the hospital at all, how many of those have COVID, or how many of those are suspected to have COVID. And then most importantly is understanding how many ICU beds we have left to take care of those folks. And then the last part is how many ventilators do we have? That's a very important statistic because if we don't have enough ventilators to care for these folks, given that many of our COVID patients do need that level of care, then that would put us in a really rough spot. So it's really nice that we have a team developing those tools so we can kind of have an air traffic control view of what's going on. So once we have a sense of the statewide demand and what we can offer, we then really work on the ground at our hospitals to have our teams be the most efficient. So we do have sections of the hospital that are COVID-only wards where we only take care of those patients with a diagnosis or suspected diagnosis. That's really important because we don't want to expose patients without it to folks in that area. And secondly, there's different protocols that we have to do in those wards regarding wearing of the PPE from our teams to keep them safe. And also different staffing ratios are needed because these patients are very sick. So there's a higher level of both physician and nursing care that we need in those areas. So very important that we make sure we have enough of those wards at each site. Also, We have to make sure that we have plans in place to know that as capacity increases beyond 100%, so looking at 125% and 150%, what the next stage can be. And so we're looking at how do we kind of convert other parts of the hospital where we traditionally don't have patients to be those patient care areas. So very important work there, and all the hospitals in the state are doing this with us. Also, I'd like to say one of the things that we do is we want to create capacity on the back end as well. So we are looking at lots of different technologies and are actively launching these now. So patients who might have just met the criteria to be inpatient status or admitted to the hospital, we might could monitor them at home with home monitoring technology, which could include us having a remote team using things to make sure that we're keeping a good look at their oxygenation levels and in constant contact with them with video monitoring and other things so that we could take care of them safely at home while creating space in our facilities. So lots of really great work happening with our teams. Now I'm going to pivot real quick to talk about even more on the front end. What we're doing is we're working with our PCPs in the Banner Health Network to really make sure that they have telemedicine capabilities stood up, because what we would like is to have as few patients go to the hospitals, the emergency room for a suspected COVID diagnosis. And so if patients know that they can visit with their provider in the comfort of their home on telemedicine, that could potentially prevent them from getting exposed to COVID illness if they go to an emergency room. And so we're really pleased that 90% of our physicians in our Banner Health Network offer a telemedicine capability. And also we have some other technology partners through Banner Aetna who are also rendering virtual care. So lots of great work going on in this space to make sure that we're up to speed and able to render care for our members.
Thanks, Dr. Clark. There's definitely more moving parts that I know you and your teams are juggling every day, certainly more than I realized or I can even imagine, and I'm sure many of our listeners are in the same place as well. So it's great information for us to be more aware of. And obviously, what we want to do is, as Arizonans, is everything we can to try to stay out of the hospital. So I'd like to move to Dr. Groves. And Dr. Groves, can you explain to our listeners why it's so important to wear a mask?
Yeah, thanks, John. I appreciate the opportunity to address that issue because the evidence is mounting that wearing a mask makes a difference. It makes the biggest difference when everybody wears a mask. And the reason that's true is because masks trap and knock down some of the particles we emit when we cough, sneeze, laugh, or even talk. There's evidence that even breathing can create some particles. Those sorts of things can spread the virus quickly in an environment where no one has their face covered. Everybody's vulnerable. Now, the reason this is traditionally important with this virus is because transmission occurs in asymptomatic individuals. That really is important. These folks are walking around, don't even know that they're sick yet, and so may not be aware that they need to stay home. But if you've got a mask on and you're sick, you're much less likely to transmit the virus to others. The only way on a broad scale to protect ourselves, given that many of the folks that have this disease are asymptomatic, is for everyone to wear a mask. And we've seen this work with other countries, other respiratory diseases, and there's even physical evidence. You know, I read this paper the other day that when you wear a mask, if you have the illness, not only does it knock down large particles, but even the microparticles are impaired. Instead of falling 6 feet from the individual, it's about 1.5 feet from the individual. So you can see how logically, if you have an asymptomatic infection and you're wearing a mask, you're far less likely to pass the disease along to someone else. It's a gesture of taking responsibility for yourself, really, not to affect other people, and perhaps even cause unnecessary death. That's really what we're talking about. I mean, I hope that you are hearing from a variety of sources almost every day, wash your hands, use hand sanitizer if your hands aren't directly soiled or you don't have soap handy. Stay at least 6 feet away from people. Wear a mask. All these things are important in controlling the spread of the virus. Now, those are the specific things that we can do to minimize the risk of unnecessary death in Arizona. You just heard from Dr. Clark that all kinds of contingencies are in place, and that's because the spike is still rising. Now, plans are in place to address this trend, and we're hard at work across the system, but every single person in Arizona, we want you to do your part to help us slow this down so that we can have enough resources to take care of everybody, and we don't have any unnecessary deaths.
Okay, great. Thanks, Dr. Groves. That's certainly helpful to understand that, and that's great information. I appreciate your thoughts on that. One of the things I've heard about is flu shots, and here we are talking about COVID and flu shots, and for me, it was confusing about why flu shots are important. So, Dr. Groves, I'll just continue to direct this to you. Why should our listeners get a flu shot?
Yes. There's some confusion around this. First of all, let me point out that a flu shot will not protect you against COVID. Well, why should I get one? Well, in the flu season, we hear that a lot of people get the flu. And some of those people behind the scenes, you know, may not hear about this much, and it's a little hard to predict, but some of those people end up being hospitalized. And it varies from year to year, depending on how severe that specific flu is. Now, if they need hospitalization, and with the numbers that we're already seeing with COVID-19, we don't want to have a wave of influenza on top of this COVID-19 pandemic. That could create a real problem. The influenza wave would increase the number of patients who are ill and critically ill in the same way as many COVID patients. We had a flu season just a few years ago that put a lot of folks on a ventilator, and that is especially important during this pandemic when ventilator use is critical. We're needing to use a lot of them for COVID patients, and so we don't want any more people than is, that we want to prevent every episode of flu that we can is the bottom line. We need to take one player out of the mix as best we can. The best way to do that is for everybody to get vaccinated against the flu. Now, you've heard about this interest in developing a vaccine for the coronavirus. Why is that? Because if you can give enough people protection against either virus, then it can't spread anymore because it's bumping up against people that are not susceptible. The R0, the number of people that one individual can infect then, starts to go down. And if that number goes to less than one, then that particular episode of influenza will peter out instead of peaking and sending a whole bunch of other people to the emergency room. The other thing an influenza wave would complicate is testing. Now, we'd have to figure out, because they're so similar, who has the flu, who has the coronavirus. The treatments are slightly different. And I know that we're just starting to learn about treating coronavirus, but we do know a little bit about helping with the flu, and there are medications that can help with that. Having to separate those out and figure out who has what adds another layer of complexity to what is already a very complex situation in our hospitals, in our intensive care units, and even in our primary care clinics. So it is critically important that we eliminate every episode of influenza that we can so that we can focus on the pandemic and getting that right.
Thanks, Dr. Groves. That's certainly helpful in connecting the dots and makes sense. So I appreciate your thoughts on that, laying it out as you did. Let's go back to Dr. Clark. Dr. Clark, what happens if we don't comply? What's the impact on the healthcare system?
Great question and a very important one. So in the short term, given that we're already at 90% capacity, if you look statewide at our ICUs, it puts us in a really tough spot if we continue to see the cases go up and end up not having enough room for folks in our hospitals. So in the short term, it's very important for folks to wear masks, socially distance, do all the things that Dr. Grove said. And then building upon the discussion around flu shots, which is a bit longer term, again, a rough flu season, which in itself has folks be admitted to the hospital to take care of them for flu-related illness. If you add that on top of an already taxed system dealing with COVID-positive patients, again, we're just at concern that we won't have enough space for these folks. So it's very important for everybody to consider these things, take it seriously, so that we as a healthcare system make sure that we have space to take care of those who are most in need.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. That was our last question. I really just want to thank Drs. Clark and Groves. There's so much information out there that people have access to. I think this has gone a long way in clarifying certain aspects of how we think about COVID and how we think about how we can care for ourselves and for others. So thank you both. Very good information. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to this episode of our podcast, Banner Aetna Workplace in Focus. Our goal with these podcasts is to bring you current, relevant, and actionable information. Right now, it's COVID-19. Down the road, we'll certainly bring other topics of interest and hope that you will continue to tune in.
You've been listening to Banner Aetna, Workplace in Focus. Learn more at banneraetna.com.